a full congressional investigation of this Israeli attack on the USS Liberty, which once again, if we are thinking of who is predominant in the Zionist imperialist alliance, once again, this moves us in the direction of saying that, well, the Israelis must have a lot of clout all over the place to kill an issue like this and remain killing it for the past 41 years. Come next month, it'll be 41 years since that incident occurred. In the late 1960s, we have to go back to the political atmosphere of the time, especially as it relates to the Middle East. There was a guerrilla movement that was picking up momentum by the Palestinians, the Palestine Liberation Organization, with the many factions that it had. One of those factions was called the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. And it had taken control of some airlines and bombed them in the Jordanian desert. This was a spectacular demonstration of guerrilla warfare against Israelis. It was beamed all over the place, and etc., etc. And then there were other such types of spectacular outbursts by the Palestinian Liberation Organization in different parts of the Middle East. All of that scenario put together caused a type of national security meeting in Washington. If you can recall, at the time, Henry Kissinger was head of national security. President Nixon was in the White House. They got together, and an executive order was issued. Not many people know about this. An executive order was issued. I can't remember the... It had a name and it had a numeral to it. That executive order considered, in those circumstances, that Americans who are of Arab descent, within six generations, are to be considered suspect. That is a very damaging decision that was made on the highest levels of the U.S. government that still reverberates today, as we have after 9/11, new policies that are kicking in to also de-Americanize Americans who are of Arab descent, and now Americans who are of Islamic descent. The Patriot Act and profiling and admitting into court secret evidence and the rest of this whole thing. Well, it's for those of us who have been living these details, it's nothing really new, because it's always been there, except it was kept away from the public eye after 9/11. It just burst out in the dramatic fashion that it has. And then we have reference made was made to AIPAC, that humongous, very influential body of people who have disproportionate input into the policies and the decisions, particularly as they relate to Israel. Note that almost every year it has been, especially in the past few years, it has been a practice of very influential American politicians, such as Hillary Clinton, and Republicans and Democrats, to attend the yearly conference of AIPAC and to make sure that everyone who is attending understands that these officials are going to do their utmost to protect Israel, even if that means launching a war against Iran. This has come out very clearly in the past couple of years at least. Another indicator of the disproportionate internal relationship between Zionists and imperialists is the matter of these spies that keep on popping up from time to time. The most notorious case of an Israeli-American spying for Israel is the case of Jonathan Pollard. This person is reported to have photocopied tons of information and passed it on to his handler at the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., who of course passed it on to Israeli intelligence. The person got caught back in the mid-1980s. He got caught in the act. He was brought to court and then was sentenced to life imprisonment. I think he's been in prison for 22 or 23 years now. And there have been several attempts, serious attempts, by the Israeli government to spring him out of detention, to commute this life sentence. They have all failed so far. This person was, when the court ruled that he has to spend the rest of his life behind bars, this person, Jonathan Pollard, was visited on several occasions that I know of. What we don't know of may be much more, but was visited by high-ranking Israeli officials. During the Y Plantation get-together through the offices of the United States between the Palestinians and the Israelis, when Netanyahu, the Likudnik, the warmonger, when he was involved in all of this, he passed on an attempt with President Clinton to have Pollard released from prison as part of a deal to try to work out some type of solution with the Palestinians. But back to the time when the court ruled that this person should spend the rest of his life in prison, the Secretary of Defense at the time stated that, Caspar Weinberger, he stated that these were very forceful words, that if there was capital punishment for persons like that, this person should have been executed for the crimes that he committed against the United States. Now this also, when we hearken back to the internal relationship between imperialists and Zionists, it also flags us to, now what is going on here? Who really is in control of these things? And once again, I don't know what side you're going to fall on, but this is another indicator of the internal relationship between officials in Washington and officials in Tel Aviv. And then we had recently, you probably heard in the past month or so, maybe a little more than that, another spy, an elderly gentleman who lives in the New York area, was also arrested because he was involved in espionage against the United States for Israel. I guess the guy's name is Ben-Ami Kaddish. And you would ask, and there were news reports saying that the intelligence services of the United States were aware of his activities many years ago. But then the unknown factor in all of this, well, if you knew about it many years ago, why did you delay arresting a person like that? And still we come up with sort of unknown